When a car maker fails, who deserves to suffer?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. In the Chrysler bankruptcy court today, it is auto executives versus dealers. The judge is going to hear testimony from both. Chrysler execs say they have got to get leaner, and that means terminating agreements with almost 800 dealers. The dealers want to know why they should lose their livelihoods because of the executives' failures. General Motors is getting leaner, too. AP is quoting a source saying GM might shut down even more factories temporarily. The company has already said it will idle 13 assembly plants for up to 11 weeks. Auto sales came back up a little bit last month after the car makers slashed prices. But will sales ever really be like they were in the good times? That's what Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman wanted to know.
29-year-old Kenneth McNay is the kind of consumer who makes auto companies dream of better times to come.
I've actually switched cars quite a bit, and I kind of like getting in a new car every year.
But a certain iffiness creeps into McNay's voice when I ask if he and his wife are ready to buy right now.
Mostly it's just been the cost associated with putting down and then knowing I'm going to have to keep paying. For me, it's just too much to think I could actually make that decision and know I'd be happy for a good 5 to 7 years.
What about every 3 years? That's what automakers used to count on.
I think the days of buying a new car every 3 years are over.
Gary Chasen studies the auto industry at Clark University.
I think the days of investing in a car to keep it running are just starting now. Cars are more expensive, consumers are more wary, and as a result, they're going to be very hesitant.
That hesitation has partly to do with finances. It's harder to get a loan these days, especially one that stretches over 6 years and offers lower monthly payments. Consumers like Kenneth McNay are also waiting to buy because they want to see what new green cars come down the road.
We want to see the technology develop where hybrids are much more common or even electric vehicles are becoming common.
And when he does plunge in, McNay says it won't necessarily be for a GM brand. He currently drives a Chevy Tracker. He wants to hold off at least a year to see how the company is doing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Today, the Bank of England is expected to keep UK interest rates historically low. They are at 0.5%, tiniest in the bank's 315-year history. As Stephen Beard tells us, there is some evidence these low, low rates are working.
Nobody says definitively that the British recession is over. Key indicators are still sending a mixed message. But there's been a flurry of excitement over one recent figure, the PMI, or Purchasing Managers Index, for the service sector. It's a survey of business confidence. After contracting for a year, this week it moved into positive territory. George Buckley is with Deutsche Bank. He says it's just possible the UK economy may be already emerging from recession. However, he warns it's far too early to celebrate.
We might see a very short period of economic growth, and then you start to see some sort of W-shaped recession. One where you think you're coming out, but you go straight back in again, and that's certainly a risk.
Analysts say that so great is the level of personal and public debt in Britain that the critical moment for the British economy will come when interest rates start to rise. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Investors are waiting to hear what the Bank of England and the European Central Bank will do with interest rates today. London's FTSE index is up slightly. European markets overall are up 0.5% or so. Asian markets lost 0.5% today after some disappointing economic numbers from here in the U.S. News that crude oil inventories are up sent oil prices down to under $67 a barrel. Yesterday, the S&P 500 backed up 1.4%. The Dow Industrials fared a little better, losing 0.75% or 65 points, closing at 8,675. Somebody is hiring this year. Walmart says it expects to hire 22,000 people in 2009. Cashiers, clerks, managers, pharmacists. The company will open about 150 new or expanded stores. The announcement comes as Walmart preps for its annual shareholders meeting tomorrow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com.
20 years ago today, Chinese soldiers fired on their own citizens near Tiananmen Square. The whole world knows about those events. But inside China, you're going to have a hard time finding it on the internet. That information cutoff is a major challenge to American.com firms as they try to profit from the world's largest internet population. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Try to Flickr your photos or Twitter your blog in China today, and you come to this digital destination. Page load error. China's net police have cut off access to these sites, plus MySpace, Wikipedia, and YouTube. It's the digital equivalent of the real-life fence that went up around Tiananmen Square last night. Common wisdom says Beijing wants to keep out any inflammatory videos or commentary that might stir up the masses on this 20th anniversary. For US.com firms, it all makes for virtual indigestion. David Wolf heads a corporate advisory in Beijing.
It's sort of the cost of doing business here, the price that you pay for access to, you know, hundreds of millions of eyeballs.
And the cost is high, since the American firms, by and large, are losing to Chinese competitors. The Chinese sites steer clear of the censors by filtering out touchy content. Wolf thinks the Americans need to play by the same rules to win here.
Or you can call it in-house editors, you can call it self-censorship, you can call it whatever you want. If you don't want to make those compromises, don't come to China.
But opponents of those compromises say the American firms should defend free speech around the world. Beijing will likely unblock sites like YouTube and Twitter in the next couple of days, at least until the next anniversary. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Finally, a retired Air Force sergeant is bringing a slice of America to the Middle East. Mark Evans has gotten Miller Coors to donate 10,000 cases of beer. Uno Chicago Grill is making 28,000 deep dish pizzas packed in dry ice. And DHL Express has agreed to ship it all to 9 forward bases in Iraq and Afghanistan in time for the 4th of July. Evans pulled this off last year with a paltry 2,000 pizzas, so he is scaling it up this year. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.